and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button right there at the top of the page, then the appropriate month. You will see a lot of very interesting links associated with each guest that will help to contribute to your knowledge about that particular day's discussion. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1 at yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Victoria Thorne. And she is going to talk to us about the ongoing trauma of abortion and the dangers of the pill. She is the founder of, or as she would say, foundress of the Project Rachel. That was back in 1984. It is the post-abortion ministry of the Catholic Church, the first formally organized outreach. She is the author of a book on Project Rachel, and that website is hopeafterabortion.com. In 1990, she founded the National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing, and that website is NOPARH, stands for National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing. Again, that's NOPARH.org. She was originally from Minnesota and attended the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. She has a degree in psychology, but was originally a pre-med student who was not willing to make the sacrifices necessary for doctorhood. She retained her interest in science and biochemistry, which led her to a study of attachment and bonding. She and her husband have lived in Milwaukee since 1975. Her husband teaches at Marquette University, and they have six children. When she began the work associated with Project Rachel, people knew very little about the aftermath of abortion. Later, she discovered that Japan had known about the spiritual issues beginning in the 1950s when they established mourning ceremonies in the temples. Taiwan also has baby spirit programs to appease the spirits of the aborted children, but Americans were unaware of such issues at that time. Vicki is an international speaker and author of the topics of abortion's aftermath in women, men, and others, as well as the process of post-abortion healing. She also speaks internationally on the biology of bonding and attachment. She has spoken in Canada, Mexico, the Bahamas, Australia, New Zealand, Guam, Ukraine, Italy, Austria, Poland, Chile, Slovakia, Romania, Sardinia, Spain, France, England, Scotland, Germany, Austria, oh my goodness, Hong Kong and China. She is a bereavement facilitator trained by the American Academy of Bereavement and a parental loss facilitator certified by Resolve Through Sharing Prenatal Loss. She also holds a certificate in trauma counseling from the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee and is a longtime member of the Association of Prenatal and Perinatal Psychology and Health. We will join her after the break. Be right back.
Michael Anthony's Private Stock, your source for all natural, high quality, affordable, energizing, rejuvenating, powerful, healing herbal formulas. Hi, I'm Michael Anthony. Over 25 years ago, I designed my own line of herbal formulas to serve as allies in defending the body's health and well-being. My product line is a complete arsenal of protection To find out more about my exclusive formulas, call 845-231-1094, 845-231-1094, or email michaelanthonysprivatestock@yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's exclusive herbal formulas.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Guest today is Victoria Thorne, and somebody asked me, "Don't you? Is that a misspelling? Shouldn't it be Victor Thorne?" I said, "No, it's Victoria Thorne." And so, welcome to the program, Vicki.
Thank you, thank you. It's my pleasure to be there with you. You read the introduction. I'm tired.
Yeah, just going to all those places. Oh my goodness! I guess we could say you've been around the block, but. When people referred to somebody as being around the block that they had some other connotations in their mind. I have watched some of your some of the videos where you were featured. You were on Gloria TV. I listened to that interview. Did part one of Biochemistry of Sex. I learned some things that just blew me away, and I thought that I knew pretty much. About that particular subject and about the particular and about abortion issues, but I didn't know a thing. So hopefully you can share that information with the listeners. And
I'm hoping this will be an informative piece for our listeners. When we say abortion, so often people immediately, the hackles go up. We're very defended, and we sort of want to believe that abortion is a moral and philosophical discussion. But given the level of passion, it's very clear that it's not. It really is a heart discussion. And there are so many people in our country and around the world who have been touched by abortion, and they don't really know. The pain is there, but they don't know what to make of it, okay? And we were told it was supposed to set us free. It was a rite of passage for the early feminists. And yet there's more and more science that unfolds as we go along here that raises really serious issues. And as we talk about the aftermath of abortion today, one of the things I want to say is that, we use the language of post-abortion syndrome to talk about the aftermath, okay? But while that served us well in establishing that there is aftermath, I don't like that language, because language is a teacher, okay? And syndrome implies there's a pathology, that there's something wrong with me that I would be suffering if I've had an abortion. Well, this is really a normal reaction. This is the experience of a mother who's lost her child in a traumatic and unnatural fashion. And the fathers who are touched, you know, we blow them off. You know, men, why would men be touched? And yet the science indicates that men, very early in a pregnancy, if he's with his partner, he starts to undergo hormonal changes that are long-term, okay, hardwired at the end here with the baby. Those are things we don't talk about. We don't realize that the other children who follow the aborted child, they've got biological knowledge that there's an older sibling, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. This awareness of the dance of all the people involved is enormous. You know, our estimate is, what, 53 million, 54 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. And nobody knows, because clinic providers have acknowledged over time that, well, they didn't report all of them, you know, tax purposes and other things. But we also need to know that abortions happen in this country long before Roe v. Wade. Abortions are a human problem. And that's why the Hippocratic Oath, which dates back to the Greeks a long time ago, forbade abortion. They had a problem, okay? And I've met the women who are very elderly now, some deceased, who had abortions in World War I, World War II, the Depression. Were they back alley abortions? Well, some were, but many of them were done by physicians in their office. The physician, in compassion, you know, said, well, you have this disease. We'll help you out. You may have too many children, maybe his opinion. And so these women had suffered in silence for a very long time, not knowing where to turn. So, you know, with the advent of Roe v. Wade, we started to look at what was out there and to see what happened. And my own experience of how this really came to be was that in high school, I had a friend who had gotten pregnant between her freshman and sophomore year, and her mother arranged an abortion in a hospital, illegal but safe, okay? And it turned out that my friend had already had a baby, placed that child for adoption, which I didn't know at this time. It was a day school, boarding school, and she was a boarder and I was a day student. But she was a hard case in terms of law, in that her brother was the father of the second baby. My guess is he was the father of the first baby, and that's why she was in the boarding school, but we never talked about that. But I listened to my friend over the years talking about her pain, and she always said the same thing at the end of every conversation. I can live with the adoption. I can't live with the abortion. And this, Deanna, was not a time when, this is pre-Roe v. Wade, we weren't talking about it in schools, we weren't talking about it anywhere. And it was so clear to me that this was such a life-offending event for her, okay? Got my degree in psychology. Can't say that it helped me understand what was going on with her. Then worked, interestingly, in the apartment industry for a while and worked with other women. Abortion was now legal. And they had sought abortions. And it didn't set them free. I was seeing kind of the same sort of stuff I was seeing with my friend, okay? We moved from Minneapolis to Milwaukee. And I was offered a job working in the diocese. It wasn't a job I wanted. It was involved in getting people involved in the legislative process. Not my talent, okay? Turned the job down twice. Third time I said, okay, you know, I'll take it, but I'm expecting a baby, and if it's a fussy baby, I quit. Oh, that was fine. And then very quickly I became what was called the Respect Life Director. And the Catholic bishops of the United States had responded to Roe v. Wade in a very direct way. They had published what was called the pro-life, it was a guide for pro-life activities, okay, the pastoral plan for pro-life activities. And what they challenged the people in the pew to do and people working in the church was threefold. One, to always talk about life from conception to natural death, to teach about it, to inform people. You know, it's not just a clump of cells that might turn into a table or it might turn into a puppy. No, this is going to be a human being. This is a human being from the moment. Secondly, was to get people involved in having our voices heard on this issue, the legislative piece. And the third part was pastoral care for those who who had had abortions, but first and foremost for the woman facing the crisis pregnancy. But what resonated with me was this call to care for those that were wounded. And there was nothing there. I mean, there was nothing there. And so, you know, I really worked from the experience of my friend. I went to see clergy who, you know, and just said, have you heard the stories of women trying to heal? Oh, yeah, they all had. And they all felt that they didn't know enough to help well, okay? Talked to mental health professionals. Oh, yeah, they'd heard it, but they didn't know what to do either. And it took me 7 years to bring together a group of experts who I thought knew enough that we could train people to provide an organized ministry. And the organized ministry would be in a diocese with the blessings of the Catholic bishop that would include mental health professionals, clergy, specially trained clergy, who could deal with the questions the women have in terms of the spiritual as well as the psychological, the whole piece. So we brought together a group. We had probably 100 people here in Milwaukee at the first training, and the media picked it up. And I was not going to announce that there was a ministry yet because I had to put some of the fine details together, and they weren't together. And one of the reporters called me that night at home, and she said, Vicki, tomorrow we're going to break the story. I said, well, what story? You were there. It was a training, first kind of, you know, in the world. She said, no, there's a ministry coming. And I said, well, if you say that, tomorrow my phone is going to ring. Well, it did. 7 a.m., the first radio station called, wanted to interview me on the front page story in the paper about this ministry. And that day, it went around the world. The secular media, the religious media, they just kept talking about it. Well, how is it that this was such big news? It was news because they knew people. The woman who broke the story told me about a friend of hers who'd had an abortion, and she'd never gotten help. And so, as I say, this is a heart issue. We all know someone.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I hate to even say this, but I found out after my mother's death that she had an abortion after me, performed by a doctor, and I didn't know it until after she had passed away. Mm-hmm. I was shocked.
Yep.
It was painful. It's still painful. And I didn't realize until you start talking. And even after watching the videos that I watched, it's painful. And I think I could have had a little sister.
Mm-hmm.
And why did she, you know, I've asked. And of course, she I found out after the fact. And it was just so hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always so moral and
yep.
always very, you know, when I was growing up, she moralized and said, oh, you know, don't have premarital sex and don't do this. Well, she was married.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me and my sibling about how to be moral.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, in fact, well, I've referred to people who have abortions as, well, they've murdered their child.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a very difficult thing for me to wrap my head around. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, People who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. GeofflawtonOrg. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Today is Vicki Thorne. The websites are hopeafterabortion.com and NOPARH, which stands for National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing. Alrighty, please continue. I did not realize I was going to make such a private statement so public, but it just seemed like I think truth is It's kind of refreshing and cleansing.
It is. And when people are able to talk about it, it changes things. I mean, you know, my own experience then went beyond, you know, the stories of my friend and the women I worked with, is I discovered in our big extended family that there are five children missing who surround one of my daughters. And I had no idea that there were abortions going on, okay? And my daughter, as a very little girl, she was 5 or 6, said to me, "Mom, why don't I have any cousins my age in this family? Everybody else in this family has cousins. I got gypped by God. I had no idea what to say to her." And it wasn't until she was about 14, 15 that the first story of the first abortion unfolded, and it was her girl cousin Maria, who would have been her age. And I just grieved for that loss in her life. And then after that, there was someone else I thought might have been involved in an abortion, because now I'm doing this work, okay, and I know more. And so he was married, but I didn't think that his wife was involved. I thought this was an old relationship. Okay, so they're expecting their first baby, and I say to her, "If there's anything he hasn't finished grieving before this baby comes, encourage him to finish that." Now, that's what I said to her. And what she said to me was, "Don't tell him I told you." And then we had a whole conversation about the word we didn't say, okay, and that, yes, indeed, there was an abortion, not with her, but in a previous relationship. So he comes to be with us in another state, and I'd take him for a walk. And I wouldn't do this with a woman, but I would do this with a man. And I said to him, you know, you can, you know, listen to me, but you can ignore me, but I just need to say something to you. And it is, I have reason to believe that you were involved in an abortion. And if you were, please finish grieving before this baby comes, because it's going to get in the way of how you bond to this baby. And I had said my piece, and I thought I was off the hook. And then he said something to me. He said, yes, you know, I am an aborted father, and the mother of my child was, and he told me who it was. She was in my house, pregnant, when I came home from the hospital with that daughter. And to this day, I wonder if somehow there was this intuitive knowledge that there's this other child present, okay? I mean, if you look at Scripture, there is a precedent for that with Jesus and his cousin John.
Sure. But,
and then the more unfolded. And, you know, again, that our families have been touched in such very real ways. You know, let me go back for a minute and talk about the biology that I alluded to when we first started. Mothers carry cells from every child they ever conceive. It seems to be the rest of their lives. This is ongoing research. It's called microchimerism. And they know that these cells are present in the woman's body. They are the child cells present in the mother's body by 4 weeks post-conception. They can test for them. That's how they do some of these genetic testing things that they're doing. These cells, they don't know how they pass, but they know that they pass, okay, are everywhere in our body. And they kind of morph into different types of cells, but still the cells of our children. And if we have our partner is a good immune system match for us, which we'll talk about when we get to the biochemistry stuff, these cells appear to be reparative, potentially in the mother's body. They gather if there's a disease. And there is, in fact, an oncologist out in Pennsylvania who heard me speak about this and came up and said, I have to tell you, I'm working on research. He said, if a woman has cancerous tumors and her match with her partner is the proper match, I extract the cells of her sons from her body, because those are obvious. Okay, we women are XX, guys are XY. If I have XY cells, it ain't me, okay? He said, and I inject them into the tumors, and the tumors disappear.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, and you can, this, you know, our listeners can go online. You can find this stuff. This research is out there, right? So there's this knowledge in my body of who is missing, okay, and who was born. This is true miscarriage, stillbirth. But they also know that in the next pregnancy, I pass the cells of those children on to my other children. So the siblings who follow lost children have biological knowledge of who's missing in the family. And when they talk about it, it's very interesting. They almost never talk about siblings. They almost always cite a specific sex. I was interested that you referred to your sister.
Yes.
But you came before. But there are these things still happen. Okay, I can't explain that one, but they happen. I know they happen.
Right.
But so I have biological knowledge that there's a boy missing in the family, okay? So I might speak about this brother I always thought I was supposed to have. We mothers also give ourselves to our children, to the surviving children. And so there is this incredibly deep connection. And now the researchers are saying that potentially we as mothers might be passing the cells of our mothers onto our offspring as well.
Amazing. All righty. We do have a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements, made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Vicki Thorne. The websites are hopeafterabortion.com and NOPARH.org, which stands for National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing. So please continue.
Okay. I don't know. I'm worried that our listeners' brains are already sort of exploding.
Oh, they're loving it.
I hope they're loving it.
But the people in the chat room are just, they're just loving it. So.
Are they? Okay, good. All right. we don't want to overdo. But this awareness of how interconnected we are in family systems as people. And when we talk about the biochemistry, I'll say a little more about that. But the point I want to make in sharing those is that a mother can never forget. She carries those cells. At some point, we women need to make sense out of our biological parenting history. Okay, it's just part of who we are. And it is one of the issues that women wrestle with. Okay? Abortion changes its meaning. Because I may be young and frightened, and, you know, there's another myth I want to dispel as we talk about this, and that is that for many women, this is a cool, calm, rational decision. You know, I have not met many of those women. For many women, this is an incredibly frightening experience where they feel really abandoned, and many people say to them, an abortion is the only solution. You know, their parents said to them, you ever come home pregnant, honey, you are out of here. I mean, you are out of here. And then their friends say, oh, well, I was pregnant in college, and, you know, it's too hard. I mean, I had an abortion. It solved everything. And so this myth of solution, abortion is solution, or abortion being presented as pseudo-compassion, okay, then the woman is left, you know, with nothing. And the research indicates that when we are young and we are radically stressed, okay, meaning in utero, maybe my mom was really stressed and frightened and the doctor said there was something wrong with me, and so she was terrified, and maybe I was in a neonatal intensive care unit. Maybe, and this is politically incorrect and people will cringe, maybe I was in full-time daycare from 0 to 3. There's research on the fact that if I'm in a commercial setting, I may be stressed by that experience. But what happens to the brain then is that the Center for Moral Development doesn't come online when it's supposed to. It comes online at some point, but many times it's missing. And so we're assuming that this is a moral decision made by someone capable of making a moral decision. And in many cases, this is a fear-driven decision. When I'm stressed, the rational part of my brain, the prefrontal cortex, is not functioning. The part of my brain that's functioning is the amygdala. It's the fear center. And the fear center is there to keep us alive. Okay? It leads us to do things we might not do if we were completely rational.
How true.
And women will tell you that, you know, once it was over, I couldn't believe I did that. It was like there was somebody else in my body. Okay, these aren't excuses. These are lived experiences. But to understand that incredible fear that comes when there's no one there for you, I don't know where to look for someone to support me. And the men are equally cut out of this many times. You know, we paint them as the bad guys. Men force abortions. Oh, yeah, some do, but some don't. Some would have laid their life down in front of a car to save that baby. They offer to raise the child themselves, to adopt, to marry, to whatever, okay? But we again, in the society, sort of believe that these are sperm donors. You know, they don't have any say. And yet, as I alluded to in the previous segment, by about 4 weeks after conception or after this pregnancy is identified, the father undergoes hormonal changes for the first time. His cortisol goes up. Now, that's the stress hormone, but it's also involved in protecting. So it's not so high as to be stressed, but it's so high as to start protecting. By scent, these things called pheromones, excuse me, which are scent molecules of affiliation, he recognizes she's pregnant. And 60 to 90% of men who are with their partners, got to be with her for this to be happening, they undergo something called Couvade. And Couvade is what used to be referred to as sympathetic pregnancy symptoms, but it seems that it's really more than that. It's a French word for hatching. And these fathers will have symptoms, nausea, throwing up, headache, backache, toothaches. They're not sleeping well, they're anxious, they have any sort of mumble food cravings, and they've gained weight. And the body is being prepared for them to be a father, okay? And the men who have the worst symptoms, about 20% of these guys are really, really, really sick. And in our society, doctors are not taught this. I learned this in an anthropology class at the University of Minnesota a long time ago, because primitive cultures knew that fathers had symptoms. So, anyway, he may go see the doctor who says, oh, well, sir, it's probably just a virus. You'll get over it. Well, I'll tell you when. About 6 weeks before the baby comes, his hormones change. His testosterone drops very significantly. So he's less likely to wander. He's less aggressive. His estrogen goes up. Men have estrogen. And now he's kinder and gentler. Okay, this is preparing him for fatherhood, for caring for his partner and their baby. All right? Then he gets more cortisol back to protecting and bonding. He gets a hormone that's pretty uniquely male in terms of this function, and that is vasopressin. And it's a bonding hormone. It's one of the reasons why when we talk about the concept of hookup sex and, you know, taking a hike, just leaving it behind, there's no way it can happen because both the male body and the female body are hardwired to begin the chemistry of bonding. I don't care what your intention is. You can't turn it off. But in this case, it's sort of Mother Nature sit, stay. Okay, don't abandon. Then he gets prolactin. That's the nursing hormone. And he's got it for at least 6 weeks after the baby comes. And it makes him extra tender, extra helpful, extra everything, again, for bonding and caring. New research shows that with each subsequent pregnancy, he gets more prolactin every time. Okay, I'm not quite sure what that's about, but it's very interesting, okay? After about 6 weeks, the chemistry of his body begins to readjust itself, and everything goes back to normal, except that the testosterone never goes as high again as when he was a bachelor. All right? He's hardwired. He's changed forever. And in the primate kingdom, where the male monkeys care for the young, they actually get new brain cells in a higher functioning part of the brain, and they last until the young become independent. Like, it's kind of a revised new brain necessary for caring for young. Nobody has looked at that in men that I know of. Okay, there is a doctor in Slovakia who's thinking about doing this as part of his PhD thesis, but nobody's done it yet. But when this man is in the dance of pregnancy, he's being changed too. And we need to talk about that to empower men to be able to speak up on this issue, okay? Now, the fathers, as I said, can have different roles. They might be adamantly opposed. These men would have gone to court if they thought it would do any good, but they can't be heard. They offer to marry her. They offer to raise the child themselves. Sometimes they're in the position of first saying it seems like a good idea and then changing their mind. These are oftentimes married men for some reason. Okay, I agree and then I disagree. The abortion happens and I hold myself really accountable. The men who seem to support the abortion, and I say seem because fathers pointed this out to me, some of them have been told, you have to be quiet. It's her body. It's a woman's choice. You have no say. And so he says, well, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. There are other guys in the same group. It seems like an okay decision at this moment. You know, we're in graduate school or whatever. And so he is in agreement. Then there are men who force abortions. And men who force abortions are oftentimes very narcissistic. They're very dangerous men to be married to. If a woman finds out that her new boyfriend, okay, has forced abortions on previous partners, she ought to run for the hills because this is about power and he will exert it in their relationship as well. So there are the guys who force. And then there are the men who find out afterwards that it happened. You know, he broke up with her and then later a friend says, now, you know that she was pregnant when you broke up, right? No, I had no idea. You know that she had an abortion, right? No, I had no idea. And so the wound there is multiplied by, why didn't she trust me? I loved this woman. I would have supported her. What happened? Okay? Then there are the men who hear the aftermath in women and wonder if a previous girlfriend had an abortion. Okay? And they may never know because it may be long, long gone. And then I met an interesting gentleman that I had never thought of in this group. Well, there are two groups. One is also the men who marry women who've had abortions and they haven't had one. And then this other guy was fascinating. It was an incredible appointment in a restaurant. He almost lost his child to an abortion, and he is an incredibly outspoken pro-life advocate. Incredibly outspoken. I had never thought about that group, okay? He almost lost his child. And he knows where his daughter is, and he knows where his grandchildren are. So this combination of, you know, 54 million women, there's a male for every one of those, okay? There may be some, or abortions, but there may be some overlap, but that's a lot of people, okay?
Indeed.
And then if we look at her parents and his parents, man, that's an enormous part of our population. And again, we're not talking about the brothers and sisters who lost their siblings, the brothers and sisters of the women and men involved, the friends, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins. We all know somebody. And again, that's why this is such an impassioned issue.
Indeed. My goodness. And it's kind of strange. For a very, very long time after I became an adult, I knew that something had happened to my mother. And I would question her, and I said, because I took psychology classes, and I just felt my mother was never really seemed happy. And one day I said, Mother, were you ever sexually abused? You just have symptoms that you were sexually abused. You just demonstrate symptoms, and I'm just trying to figure this out. And she was just horrified that I would even bring up something so personal. And she said, mm-hmm. Of course I've never been sexually abused. But
yep.
She never, I guess now that I know what she, the choice that she made, I think, why didn't she talk to me about this? Why didn't she trust me enough to talk to me about this and maybe tell me the pain that she felt so that I could have experienced, so that she could have experienced some sort of healing, and that I could have really known who she was. That, because in my house, no one was allowed any mistakes. I mean, I had a spotless room. I had, it made me an A personality. But you weren't allowed any mistakes. And to discover that she had done this was just horrifying. So I feel like I didn't really even know this person.
Well, and see, the question that's there is, if this was this big mistake, then everything has to be perfect, because I cannot allow anything to ever again be out of order. Okay, that's not an uncommon reaction, and for her to keep everything under wraps. Now, remember, she wouldn't have wanted to talk to you about it because she was definitely afraid of what you would say to her. She was probably incredibly hurt by this. She was probably incredibly confused by it, and who knows why it happened, because there could have been, the doctor could have anticipated there was something wrong with the baby or whatever. But that buttoning up of the emotions is a common aftermath. And, you know, I think what I'd like to do is just take a couple minutes before we get to our next break to just sort of talk about some of the things that women might experience afterwards, and one of them is denial. I don't think about it. I'm absolutely numb. And one day something happens, and when this something opens the door, I suddenly know the abortion was a big deal. But before that, I can keep everything sort of numbed out. A lot of women suffer with low self-esteem, and there's a really truncated identity as a mother. You know, as a mother, I wasn't supposed to do this. At the time, I wasn't thinking about that, though. It was the pregnancy that was the problem. Okay, I haven't necessarily made the leap from a pregnancy to a baby. That's part of that shutdown in my brain where I'm terrified. Women carry an enormous burden of guilt, and there's a real sense of being alienated from herself and from her others and from her family, and so she just sort of hunkers down, okay? There's an enormous amount of shame, and in spite of the fact that this is promoted as this fine and wonderful solution to problems, there still is this deep sense of incredible shame that really is at the base of this woman's pain. A lot of times there's anger towards the other people that were involved, if it's a boyfriend kind of thing and he forced it or her parents forced it. But she doesn't feel entitled to her anger because she holds herself responsible for what happened. And in the healing process, she does deal with that anger. Many women have trauma symptoms because they have multiple traumas. And it is, you know, there's probably 60-70% of women who have abortions do have a history of sexual abuse. And it isn't what got her pregnant, but it's what broke her boundaries. And then after that, she's sexually active and you know, she doesn't do good self-care because of all those wounds. And the fallout then may be an abortion or several abortions, okay? A lot of women have nightmares or baby dreams. It's usually a doll or a baby, they describe it, that I couldn't do anything for. You know, it's crying and I can't find it, or it's hurt and I can't get to it, or it's broken and I can't fix it. There oftentimes is even an auditory hallucination of a baby crying, but remember, she's got cells in her body. And that sound of someone's voice when they have gone before us is part of grieving. And so this one feels cognitively crazy, but it's there. Many women have flashbacks to the abortion experience. It might be triggered by cookies in the grocery store or driving down a street or riding an elevator because she took an elevator to a second floor or third floor office. Some women become so hunkered down because there are so many triggers that they really sort of hide out in their house. Very difficult for them to leave because these things bring this kind of memory. Women who have had suction abortions have a great deal of trouble with the sound of vacuum cleaners. And they'll tell you that. It sets off this enormous anxiety attack in them. Many women don't sleep well afterwards. If people are doing advertising to help women who have suffered afterwards, nighttime is a good time on the radio because she can get a phone number. She's by herself. There's not a child with her who would say, Mom, you wouldn't do that, would you? Or another person. okay? Because many women are, again, very defended, and they hear a very powerful ad, and there's a number of powerful radio spots out there. And suddenly, this whole traumatic experience just unrolls before them, and they're in a car or someplace like that, and it's dangerous, okay?
Wow. All righty, we are going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Vicki Thorne. The websites are hopeafterabortion.com or NOP. ARH, which stands for National Office of Post-Abortion Reconciliation and Healing.
So,
all righty.
We're moving forward here. I want to just finish a little bit more on women because it helps us to understand the people that we know and love in terms of some of the things that, we might see in them. It's important for us to recognize that in the first month after an abortion, this woman is likely to be very suicidal. Okay, it was sort of an accidental finding in terms of teens. Some study that was done at the University of Minnesota simply looking at suicidality, and they discovered that in the 6 months after an abortion, these girls were 10 times more likely to attempt a suicide. It's about six times more likely with older women. those months after, she's still in a state of physiological shock. And Canadian doctors, not American doctors, but Canadian doctors tell women who had abortions that their hormones don't go back to normal until the anticipated due date. All right? It makes sense in terms of the cells I talked about and some other things, okay? So she's feeling emotionally very fragile. Now, it doesn't mean she can't get pregnant again. That settles down. But this is a different kind of experience. To make sure that she's eating well, to make sure that she's getting some exercise, that she's taking power naps to help her keep herself together enough to emotionally and physically begin the healing process is an important thing. A lot of women struggle with drug and alcohol abuse after an abortion. There's a lot of women in prison and men in prison who have suffered abortions. I just recently came across a woman who did prison ministry who's actually written a little sort of prayer book for women. And the very first man I know who was doing work, a father himself, but who was doing a Bible study, was doing it in a prison because the men have these losses as well. Okay, and then, you know, they have relationship problems in that they don't want people to know what happened, so they have a lot of sort of surfacey relationships, but the really deep, intimate stuff oftentimes is pretty damaged. They may have physical pain as a result of uterine damage. She may develop adhesions in the uterus, which is very, very painful. There may be cervical damage. There might have been an infection. Just different pieces there that may play themselves out. And she may have pain that's an anniversary reaction. Every year in March when the abortion happened, which she doesn't necessarily think about, she has this terrible back pain. And then in April, it disappears. Well, oftentimes that's sort of an anniversary reaction because our body remembers what our psyche can't always process. She may have a lot of difficulties in subsequent pregnancies. And she may be hyper alert about anything that has to do with abortion. You know, somebody talks about abortion, she's very defensive, or she leaves the room. But she's on alert for those things. The difficulty in labor and delivery and subsequent pregnancies, you know, people who provide OBGYN care really need to be aware of this because she's so stressed in that next pregnancy. It's quite likely, this is some Australian research, she may have a premature baby. Okay, because there's so much stress going on in her system. And she may not bond well. She may have trouble breastfeeding because the cortisol blocks all this and other things that are going on there.
Wow. All righty. Excuse me. We do have to take our 60-second top-of-the-hour break for station ID and word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.